Go ahead, Robin. Can you give the directions to the audience members, please?
Thank you. We will now be conducting the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star two if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we pull for questions.
So, Connie, while we're waiting for people to pull for questions,
okay.
do you want to share maybe any personal experience of when you may, in your career, have experienced any and either burnout or compassion fatigue, and what did you find that may have helped kind of rectify or remedy that?
Well, you know, before we started the program tonight, you and I were talking about how busy the fall has been for those of us that are in the work. You know, many of us are active in the community. We speak to support groups, and we may travel and do education for other nurses. In addition, we do we work in clinics that are very busy, or comprehensive MS care centers. And then while we're there taking care of patients, we're also sub-investigators for clinical trials and so forth. So I think that sometimes we can take on too much, and then we tend to be less tolerant of the amount of care that our patients need. And so I have done that frequently, and I think I've done that to myself this fall. So I sometimes feel too tired to take care of patients because I'm so busy doing other things. And then in the same area, I'm neglecting my own personal health in terms of physical health as well as emotional health, and then I neglect my family. So all of those tend to be triggers for me that I'm way overextended.
Right. I often think of the picture of, you know, the flight when you're getting on board and they explain the safety rules to you and the,
right.
the mask dropping down. It's always put the mask on yourself first and then, you know, pick your favorite child and then give them their mask next.
Right.
Is there any questions yet, Robin?
As a reminder, it is star one if you would like to ask a question. Our first question comes from the line of Lori Mayer from Austin, Texas. Lori, you may proceed with your question.
Hi, Connie. Great,
hey,
great presentation. You just brought up a lot of really good good points, and like Jen said, you put a face to what, with talking about compassion fatigue, what I think that we deal with MS nursing every day. My question to you, though, is what kind of strategies would you present if you were mentoring, you know, some younger nurses that you noticed were having a difficult time?
You know, that's a good point, because I was thinking about this as I was preparing, because one of the risk factors is the young nurse who's, you know, just starting her career. But and I think as and I'm of course an older nurse, but I think that even someone who's been in the work 10 years or 15 years, even though they're young, there still are going to be younger nurses coming in, and I think we have an obligation to our coworkers, and not just in our work environment, but, you know, MS nurses go all across the country, and some of us aren't really close to other MS nurses, but when we know there's someone new in the work, we need to open up to them and offer them, you know, just some mentoring. Even if they don't feel like they need it, we need to have a connectedness to them. But if I see a young nurse, and I do a lot of mentorship programs in my clinic for nurses interested in MS, and I encourage them to balance everything, balance work life with their personal life. And like I said, in the interventions, if they know yourself, analyze yourself, you know, write a professional statement for yourself, and then write down some personal triggers that might indicate for you that you may be at risk for compassion fatigue. So I guess I would say know yourself well, develop relationships with other MS nurses or even with your colleagues so that you have someone to vent to talk to about your feelings. And if you feel if there's a particular patient whose outcome's been poor and it's upsetting to you and you're having trouble dealing with that, you need to talk to someone about it. You need to open up to a colleague and then develop that those relationships in the work environment and then with other MS nurses around the country.
That sounds like excellent advice for everybody. As far as when, I guess what's really interesting, and I know the callers can't see it, but you had brought up, and it will be on the website, you talked about the burnout risk survey.
Mm-hmm.
Have you used that in your practice? I mean,
not until I saw these, and I wish I had found more tools. But I'm just trying to pull back up my slide.
Well,
sheet.
I guess what I was thinking, it would be interesting for us to maybe, you know, through the IOMSN doing
uh-huh.
that work, maybe do a study. I think we had kind of talked about it before.
Right.
Then because this particular survey by, is it Pfiffering?
John Henry Pfiffering. It's Pfiffering.
Okay.
Yeah, he wrote the Burnout Risk Survey, and his survey is particularly for burnout. It's easy to take, and, you know, if you say yes to three items, then you're at risk for burnout, and then if there's more than four items, you're at significant risk. There's one, though, that's put out by CompassionFatigue.org. I mean, didn't even know there was a website devoted to that phenomenon.
Now,
which
is that the other one that was
Yeah, it's the one on compassion satisfaction and compassion fatigue. On that website, they have a burnout scale and a compassion scale. The compassion fatigue scale is 30 items, and it's self-assessment. The scoring's a little difficult because you have to do a Z-score, and it's very statistical, but you can use this tool, and you can download and print the booklet that explains the tool and how to administer it, and all you have to do is give, what I did is I asked for permission to use it, but all they really ask for is that you give them credit for, you know, for development of the tool and for the development of the compassion fatigue philosophy and so forth. So it's really a great website. I would encourage everybody just to go through the website and look at the links and so forth, but the tools to assess are there. And I think that, actually, Laura, if I were going to do compassion fatigue, I would also do maybe a burnout scale as well, and then see what the return is, see how many of our nurses are they're unhappy in their workplace, and then how many of them are really actually having compassion fatigue related to their relationship with their patients and family.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. I think that's something we can talk about, you know, maybe later.
Right.
You know, sending out to everybody. All right. Thank you, Connie.
You're welcome.
Great point. So I think we have a couple other questions in queue. I'd like to have Robin go ahead and open that up.
Okay. Our next question comes from the line of Patricia Pagnotta from Orlando, Florida. You may proceed with your question.
Connie, you did an
excellent
job. And I'm always proud that you know, I can say that you're in my community and can reach out to you. And I hope I'm not repeating something that someone else said. As I went to hit the queue to call, I actually cut off my phone, so I had to call back.
Bless your heart. Well, I'm glad you came on. We were talking about you earlier, so I'm glad you got to come on and listen.
But when you opened it up initially to questions, you were asking about patients or situations that we might find ourselves in. And so, you know, when I think about the difficult things for me, it's when you run into a patient who you see is going downhill, either with they're not managing their symptoms well, they're not being compliant with the lifestyle modifications or symptom management medicine, or you're talking to them about disease-modifying drug. Either they're not taking their disease-modifying drug, or they don't want to change and they're continuing to have relapses on the same drug, and yet they don't want to change. You know, that to me is something that I guess I learned early on. I mean, it was extremely frustrating for me, and extremely, I'm like, why is that I cannot convey to this person to just do X, Y, and Z, and they'll be so much better?
Right, and that's almost worse than having compassion fatigue because you're disappointed in their outcome. This is an outcome that the patient actually, it's almost a non-adherence, and so the patient actually is part of that poor outcome in terms of the decisions they make.
Well, I felt like for me, it almost became a sickness for me when I couldn't convince or help a person see, well, if you would, you know, just do X, Y, and Z. So I think one of the things that I learned early was that, you know, trying to frame, okay, you know, I can only make sure I've educated them. I can only make sure that they've understood me. I can only help them identify these things and do that in multiple ways, and then build a really good team, a team for myself and a team for them. So,
that's,
you know, getting other therapists involved, other healthcare providers involved, everyone kind of on the same page with where what we think about this person, so it's not me telling this person, it's a team of people. And then also a team of support persons that, you know, I can reach out to and say, you know, patient Nancy X, you know, whoever, is having problems. Can you call this person for me? And I find that the drug companies are extremely helpful with all their mentor programs and then support programs, and then the MS Society has been exceptionally helpful in helping patients have a team, even those persons that don't want to go to support meetings. So that's kind of how I early on was able to get through that, because that was just very difficult for me.
Well, and that's a great example. You've identified your triggers, your interventions, and you've set up your support network, and I think that's a great example of how you handle it. That's great.
Yeah, that's a great example, Trish, and I think kind of speaks to, you know, tapping into motivational interviewing as well and kind of determining what's the locus of control for the patient, and that ultimately, you know, we have to kind of support them through their decision-making process. But great question. I think we have a couple, three more in queue, so let's go ahead and open it up for them.
Our next question comes from the line of Dottie Fole from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you.
Hey, Dottie.
Hey, thank you all for another great town hall meeting, and Connie especially for a very thought-provoking presentation. When we were together recently, we had talked about compassion fatigue, and as you were talking, I was thinking that maybe compassion, like charity, begins at home, and I really liked what you said, especially with some of the symptoms. You know, some of the things, the symptoms of burnout, really were very shocking to me because I have them all.
We need to come see you then.
There you go. But I do think as a group we tend to be perfectionistic and have very high expectations of ourselves. And that, you know, maybe compassion has to begin at home, too. For the times that we don't measure up to our own standards, which may be unrealistically high. I mean, nobody is happy all the time. No one can be totally compassionate all the time. But you also said how someone, you know, you and Jen live at different parts of the state and whatever, but how you can contact one another.
Yeah, we text, too.
I really think it's the networking, and I know the professional and personal friendships I have through IMSM. When I go down, I know where to turn. You know, I know my ways to vent. But I also think in my workplace, it's really important to have a way to vent. You know, Pat was referring to that in her comments of how, you know, sometimes you have to get help, whether it's within your organization or outside, but someone you can vent to and not feel bad about it if you want to call someone a turkey or you're just not making it one day where you're not, you know, compassionate. But then also I think sometimes it's time to turn over a difficult patient.
Absolutely.
You know, because there are people, that movie, There's Something About Bob or whatever, where the person just drives the therapist crazy. But sometimes you really just need to, you know, say, okay, I'm human and this is my limit. And sort of be as kind to yourself as you would be to your patients.
Right, and I know you mentor residents and young nurses too. But I always encourage them.
I've saved a few lives.
I always try to, you know, the young nurses I see, not to feel guilty if they feel symptoms of compassion fatigue, because we all feel it at one time or another. And sometimes the young nurses think that they can do everything, be everything, you know, and you can't be. And don't feel guilty, you know. But Dottie, you're a wonderful example of being supportive. You're always supportive of all of us, and
any of us could call you and talk to you.
You're always so understanding.
I have a big sign right over my desk that says, "Mental murder is not a crime."
Oh, perfect.
Thank you all again so very much. Thank you, Dottie. Good program, Dottie. And very Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Same to you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Well, I think Dottie gets a special recognition. I think she and maybe a couple others have always been, for the last 11 months, actually 12 months, but she's been on pretty much every call of the town hall discussion.
And I know she was telling us she hasn't missed one. And she told me this past weekend she wasn't going to miss mine. So
absolutely.
I thought that was great. She was holding her standard high. So.
Great contribution, but also, again, speaks to her support to, you know, each of us.
Yeah.
And also, just to reiterate Trisha's point, I think, you know, we kind of heard this. We have another person in queue, but I want to just to extend an opportunity for anybody else on the line, especially if you're a new nurse. You know, the idea is that we don't work vacuously by ourselves. And I think, as Trish pointed out, once you kind of illuminate the team that we are all part of as an interdisciplinary team, you feel far less overwhelmed by trying to cure a patient, when we really, the best we can do is care to the greatest extent that we can.
That's a good point.
So I think we have one more question in queue, but hopefully we'll get some more.
Our next question comes from the line of Tony King in Houston, Texas. Please proceed with your question.
Hello, Connie.
Hey, Tony. Oh, how are you?
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you.
I wasn't going to miss yours. Sorry, I missed a few of them. Work's been a little crazy, and I was like, oh, I can't miss this because I'm really at the fatigue burnout point.
Oh, wow. Bless your heart.
Well, and this was kind of to build on Trisha's. I mean, what about when you run out of compassion when you get home? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, that's where balance comes in. You have to balance work, and sometimes that's hard because, you know, we spend so many hours at work, and when we come home, we're physically tired. But you do have to balance it out and save some energy for your family, because that's going to help to revitalize you for the next work day, you know.
I mean, I was just kind of kidding about that. But, no, I mean, I had to kind of learn that early on. And plus, you guys, you know, I've been learning from you. So my question is just, you know, when you have this patient that's kind of emotionally draining, and when they talk about maybe that God's going to heal them, and that kind of builds about, like Trisha, where she said she was kind of frustrated about the patient not wanting to take therapy. We kind of ran across the same patients, you know, two of those, where one said she was touched by the hand of God. And, you know, I believe in prayer. But we had another lady that said that, you know, her faith was going to heal her. And that's kind of, I mean, it's kind of emotionally, like, exhausting, because you pour all your energy into them. And we do have the, you know, multidisciplinary / interdisciplinary team to kind of help. But that, I mean, how do you kind of get past that?
Right, and you know, we didn't talk about culture, but you know, and culture is part, and it sort of depends on how people, you know, their culture is very important in how they deal with things. And you and Jen and I and Lori, we have similar ethnicities in our states, but there are some ethnicities that believe that even having the diagnosis of MS was sent by God, and that it's some see it as a punishment, and so they leave the whole outcome up to God's will. And I think that, you know, I've learned through the years that you have to respect that. that. But you provide them with the education, and you provide them with the information, and then you're supportive. But we do have to respect their cultural values, because it speaks to everything. It's like the thread that's common, you know, through their
right.
entire life. So I have those patients too, and I just remind them every time they come in. And it can be very frustrating and very hard. I'm very sympathetic to that.
And I think it was kind of hard for the patient's father, who is a physician,
mm-hmm.
and his daughter became a missionary. And, you know, she came back with just more and more, you know, brain and cord involvement. And
right.
so that's kind of, you know, he expressed to our physician also later that he felt helpless.
Right. Well, I have a similar situation with a young guy, college student, and his father is a holistic physician who lives in Tennessee. And so his mother, they're divorced, his mother and father are divorced, but the mother is a radiology tech, and she is very pro, you know, Western medicine and
right.
what the research shows and all that, whereas the father, we had a team meeting, and the father was adamantly opposed to everything. Everything, every intervention, whether it was physical therapy or whether it was a prescription. And he wanted to use vitamins and holistic theories to treat the young kid. And he did have quite a burden of disease when he came to us that involved both the brain and the cord. So we just were really... We were really hopeful, and then when we had the family conference and the team conference, we were just blown away by the father's comments. But we've lost follow-up to this young man. We have no idea what he decided to do. I think he graduated from college and probably went back to Tennessee. So it's just really hard, you know, when you have those patients. And I think we just have to be consistent, you know.
Right.
And with the information we give them and with the support we give them and as we certainly support their right to choose.
Right. I mean, we had one lady that said, you know, she was touched by the hand of God and
uh-huh.
and her MS was healed, and she constantly complained of pain, and she was kind of seeking the pain medication too.
Right.
And so we kind of had to cut her off on that end. And I mm-hmm. said, oh, I'm glad that everything's healed. And I said, and he's probably taken away that pain. Oh, no, I'm still going to need some Tylenol number threes or something.
Oh, yeah.
No, but, yeah. But thanks again, Connie.
You're welcome, Tony. It's so nice to talk to you, and happy holidays.
Same to you.
To you.
Thanks, Tony. Yeah. Tony also gets another MVP award. She's been on most of the phone calls, too. yeah, I just wanted to see if we have any additional questions before we kind of give Connie an opportunity to summarize. Any questions in queue, Robin?
There are no further questions in the queue at this time.
Okay. So, Connie, before I close the session, I just wanted to give you an opportunity, if you'd like, just to summarize kind of either your experience and how to you've dealt with this, or just kind of any closing comments that you'd like to give this
audience. Well, I'm probably not the best example, and Jen, you know that because you know how I work and overextend myself, and here I have 5 grandchildren and a large family. But I do think that doing this program has really awakened me to the whole concept. But I just think as nurses, we need to care for ourselves in order to be able to provide the right kind of and optimal care to our patients. Because if we're fatigued, or we have the compassion fatigue, then it's going to extend over into our practice, into our relationship and discussion with our patients. I'm sure they can see it sometimes. And I just think that we need to be aware of our own personal triggers and just be aware of ourselves and know ourselves well and seek support when we need it.
Yeah. So I'd like to thank all of our callers tonight for taking an opportunity to spend some time with us, especially during the hectic time of the holidays. On behalf of the MSN Town Hall Discussions, I'd like to thank Connie Easterling for your presentation and the research and the time that you spent putting together this very, I think, relevant topic. Mm-hmm. And thank you again to Biogen IDEC for supporting these programs through their unrestricted educational grant. Just a reminder to remember to visit the IOMSN website for a summary, as well as the archived podcast of tonight's program at www.iomsn.org. And we will also be sending out a post-town hall discussion survey so that we can potentially do additional programming in the next year and kind of determine what topics would be of interest to you, the audience members. So on behalf of Lori Mayer and myself, it's been such a pleasure to chair these educational programs. We thank you for joining us this evening, and please follow up with the IOMS website for future programming in the next year. So I bid you good evening, happy holidays to you and yours. Good night.
Good night.
This concludes today's teleconference. You may disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.